So now that you have a rough understanding about the gunas, we can kind of look at the gunas at work, and we can begin to maybe explore the gunas' tangible presence on the yoga mat. So imagine if you're in a class and you're doing Jhana Shavasana, so head to knee pose, and there's not really a great degree of mindfulness involved. And as you maybe like half-heartedly fold towards your extended leg, your back rounds, and then your shoulders hunch, your foot collapses to the side, and then your head just falls forward and your mind sings. Except for like a dull sense of discomfort in the pose, you might as well be na taking a nap, really. And this is what tamas is, that sense of inattentiveness. However, maybe on a different occasion, when maybe determined not to be outdone by the person, the yogi next to you, you find yourself making a lot of effort in your pose. And then you struggle, you force yourself in, you ignore your ahimsa. You lengthen the back of your leg, but consequently, then you round your shoulders as you strain to touch your toes, and then meanwhile, preoccupied with the painful end of a romantic relationship, for example, you fantasize about meeting the person 3 mats down, and this is rajas, a generous serving of agitation, competitiveness, pain, enticement. So a lot of ego. And then maybe there's one day where the pose just unfolds beautifully. Maybe the class is smaller and you're in a calm mood. You listen to the teacher's cues. Your attention shifts inwardly from one element of the pose to another. And you find yourself working a challenging but a very safe edge. You have longer, more stable hold in the posture. And it yields to a subtle awareness of the breathing. And while much of what you're doing in the pose is invisible to those around you, your mind is pleased and it is so relaxed by your inner efforts. And that is what sattva is. It's the clarity, the mindfulness, and a spontaneous sense of contentment. So identifying the sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic aspects of yoga pose and then cultivating rajas and tamas in service of sattva is a surefire method of for really advancing your practice. But there is more to these qualities than simply improving your seated forward folds, for example. You can insert these same principles of self-observation into your daily life and you will have the power to transform every aspect of your life. So, the process of working with the gunas unfolds systematically in four stages. The first one is the interplay of the gunas occurs almost entirely outside of your conscious awareness. The second stage is that you begin to notice the gunas in the world around you. Maybe the rajasic display at the checkout counter, or the sattvic sounds of very like classical music, and then you learn to recognize the feel of the distinctive qualities. Third stage is you witness your own sattvic, rajasic, and tasmic tendencies. And finally, you begin to sculpt your involvement with the gunas, cultivating sattva, so and softening your rajasic urges and engaging tamas in the service of stability and rest. So when working with the gunas, the mind's psychological qualities, they're highly unstable and quickly fluctuate between the different gunas. The predominant guna of the mind acts as a lens that affects our perceptions and perspective of the world around us. Thus, if the mind is in rajas, it will experience world events as chaotic and confusing and demanding, and it will then have a strong tendency to to continue to react to events in a more rajasic way. And therefore, for yogis to make progress along the path, we must practice self-observation and discernment to witness and not just to react to the activities of the gunas. But we must also develop inner strength and willpower to consciously shift our thoughts and actions away from tamas and rajas towards a more sattvic balance and purpose. So we can really find balance with the wisdom of the gunas. And if we don't know that this is just what happens, we can get very attached to the different states. Maybe believing that the sattvic state is where we're supposed to be at all time, or at least doing what we need to do to get there. But this is really, rajas already kicking in, so it will never work. And the practice of yoga is not to make you sattvic. And I've said this just now, you know, because you know that tamas will naturally follow, so you will be disappointed. But what you want is to be okay with it all, and that is the balance. Accepting that we have these three tendencies, just like we have shadow and light aspects. When we're not attached to that sattvic state, or for example, you know, even a good meditation. How often have you been in meditation, forcing yourself, oh, I need to, you know, I can't, my mind, and it's almost, there's this pressure to be in meditation rather than surrendering into the meditative state. So the same with the sattvic state. When you're not becoming attached to it, this will really transform into the sattvic state. And when the mind creates an ideal, you will become rajasic. Really, I mean, it's a little bit humorous, and mystical experiences occur when we clearly see all experience is the guna or the gunas acting on the three gunas, and we don't identify when we are sattvic or rajasic or tamasic. And then we move into a more tamasic state. We observe it as a natural pattern of change, and then when passions arise, bringing the ideas to stir things up, again, it is just the gunas acting on the gunas. It's all about really appreciating the process of life as it unfolds. And if we don't understand, we become attached, obsessed, and ultimately disappointed. Thank you so much for taking this philosophy class on the gunas with me. Have a beautiful day.